Robertson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. And I can tell your pastor's done a great job pulling up to the buildings. Just everything looks sharp. I like that. You come to our buildings. That's one thing I was trying to stay on top of, everything looking sharp. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school hours, not as well how the preacher preaches, but a lot of times whether people come back or not will be the nursery, will be the restrooms, and everything looks sharp here. And can the nursery workers hear us now? They're the most unsung heroes we have in our churches. And once you marry a preacher or a pastor, that's going to be your job, be nursery coordinator. I know how that goes there. But thank you for those that are working in the nursery. And I didn't ask you what time you normally stop, a little bit before 10. I will be very observant of a little bit before 12, a little bit before 12. Nah, I won't do that. I realize the pastor's important to stay on time, and so I'll try to watch that. I'll stop at no later than 12 o'clock, and I realize that you have other things to do today, and ask you to come back tonight. And I do have some material out there. I mentioned in the Sunday school hour, just mentioned one. I do have a financial management book that I authored. It's on Amazon also. It's $15, and it'll tell you about how to start your life off right financially. And we mentioned the Sunday school hour that maybe young married couples, that's probably the number one argument they have. You look at me like you never had that argument. But anyway, that they have is over finances. And one day a young married couple is really having a doozy. And now people ask, preacher, after 40 years of marriage, do you and your wife have any arguments? No, we just have times of intense fellowshipping together that we enjoy. But they're having a doozy one time, and finally the husband said, I'll tell you what, it wasn't for this my money. It wasn't for my money, this house wouldn't be here. She looked and smiled and said, honey, I want you to know, if it wasn't for your money, I wouldn't be here either. So those are out there, and I think they'll help you. I do financial training in different churches along with stewardship oftentimes. And so Proverbs is back there, and then some other printed material. We'll say maybe more tonight. I hope that you get to come to our youth conference next week. It'll be a big one. We have between 400 and 500 teenagers, pack that auditorium out. And my wife started 18 years ago. I started 21 years ago. And it's been built up, and I hope that you can come and bring some. And it's not just for teenagers. I tell our people, if you come to the youth conference, it'll make you 10 years younger. I guarantee you, just come to our youth conference. And so it is for young people, of course. But we have adults that come also. You'll enjoy it, I promise you. Just a great time Thursday night, Friday morning, and Friday night even of next week. Turn, if you would, to the book of Mark, if you would, please. And the Lord led me this morning, and I heard your pastor announcing, and I realize an important Sunday's coming up. And the Lord led me this morning on the subject of the resurrection. I think you'd agree with me, we shouldn't limit this great doctrine for one Sunday a year, should we? I mean, such a great pivotal doctrine that we have, that he arose for our justification. We say at the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sin, okay? Then he arose to take that purchase price to the mercy seat in heaven. It's kind of like, have you ever written a check and put it in your drawer and you forgot about it and your creditors called you or wrote you a letter, right? You ever done that? You've written a check and put it in the drawer and you forgot to mail it? Anybody done that? Well, you wrote the check, you paid for it, but it wasn't in the proper place. So it was in the resurrection. Jesus paid the price for sin at the cross of Calvary. But he arose to take the blood of Jesus to the mercy seat that we might be saved. And it's there today speaking of better things. And your salvation and my salvation is not any good things that we can do. But because the blood is on the mercy seat in heaven today, we have the cleansing and the forgiveness of our sins. And before I pray, I found out in 2.5 years of traveling, and usually I was a homebody as a pastor for many, many years, and I enjoy traveling, enjoy meeting the fellowship with the preachers and being out of the churches, and hopefully I can help. And I'm not an evangelist, just a preacher. I enjoy preaching still after 43 years. But I found the most important thing on a Sunday morning is what we call in the Bible fellowship. You know, we have fellowship. The word fellowship, the difference between fellowship and relationship. Fellowship is where we share things in common. And hopefully this morning, even though I don't have a relationship with you, hopefully we have a fellowship that Jesus is our Savior. And we have all trusted the Lord as our Savior. If you have not this morning, what a wonderful day that would be to get it settled on the Christmas, or rather Easter coming up. At our church, I used to always recognize the special CME delegates. And that's those who show up for Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. And it's good to have you, but it's not a very good way to start the church service off. But anyway, I want you to look at Mark 16. Let's stand, if you wouldn't mind, just for a moment. As we read one of the portions of the Bible, if you can't, I can't understand, I can't stand, I understand it completely. I've had two back surgeries, and anyway, I've got problems at 69 years old, so I realize that. But let's read Mark chapter 16 in the opening verses here, and we find our story. And I'm sure we got a good old-fashioned King James Bible. One of you do. Okay. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, it'll be our setting this morning, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and were frightened. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where the Lord lay him on that first Easter Sunday morning, that our Lord was not just resuscitated back to life, which means someone died in the hospital bed, they're resuscitated. Jesus was not resuscitated. He was resurrected with a new body. An eternal life, like we shall be resurrected from the grave one day. And not like Lazarus. Lazarus just brought back this old life. But Jesus was resurrected, and he awoke as we shall awake one day to a resurrection and to a new body in our eternal home. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good church. I pray I'll not say one thing that would hurt the pastor or this church. I pray you'll keep my mind upon that which is holy, that which is right. And what an exciting thought it is this morning, the day that you arose from that grave some 2,000 years ago. I pray you might help us as we look at that subject this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated there. The subject of the resurrection is indeed laid at the foundation in the Old Testament, said that his body would not see corruption. Certainly in the Gospels, Jesus told them oftentimes, of which they did not believe him, if you can imagine such a thing, that you would that he would be killed and crucified, and the third day he would rise from the grave. Certainly the story in the book of Acts is that they preach, not that Jesus came alone only, but he came and he died and was buried and arose from the grave. The gospel is defined for us in 1 Corinthians 15, and that is, first of all, how that Christ died. It's not just that he died, it was how that he died. I have one of my little pamphlets back here, 30 ways how Christ died. Do you know how he ultimately died? He died of a ruptured heart. It was not just the beating and the torment of the Roman soldiers, be that it was painful, and the cat of nine tails, and a total of 252 digs and piercings in the back of the Lord Jesus Christ in his back until his own organs and flesh was exposed on the cross. But it was not there. It said, reproach has broken my heart. He died of a grief-stricken heart, bearing the sins of the world. To prove that, when the soldiers came by, they pierced the side of Jesus, and out came forth water and blood. Around your heart is a sack of water. And Jesus died of a ruptured heart there on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins in his body on a tree. And he died. How did he die? He died 30 different ways, I found. And then how that he was buried. Most people don't look at the verse that says that Jesus was buried as the manner of the Jews was. If you go back, you'll find there was a certain procedure for the burial during the days of the Jews. Those times would take at least 4 hours with 4 washings of water, as it was for Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, that they took that bloody, lacerated, tormented body. And the Bible says they went and they begged for the body of Jesus. They had passion. They had a procedure. And they took the body of Jesus and they washed his body down 4 times. And then finally they came to the last time and they dried his body and took the aloes and spices and wrapped his body in a clean linen cloth. And after that, they laid his body in that sepulcher prepared by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. The last thing they would do before they would walk away from the body of Jesus and it would remain untouched, as we as good Baptists realize there's no such thing as Good Friday. It's a hoax. Jesus, the Bible says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. And if you can get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday, please come and see me, because you're quite a mathematician. It can't be done. Jesus, I believe, was on Wednesday. Some people say Thursday. I dead sure know it was not Friday, because the words of the Lord are true, are they not? I mean, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. One time a teacher that was teaching little kids in a little schoolhouse, in the government schoolhouse, was denying the miracle of Jonah being in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. And she, as a government teacher, was trying to show the makeup of an animal, or rather a mammal, of a whale, that their throat system is not large enough to swallow a human being. And a little girl who was a Christian said, "But my Bible says that Jonah was swallowed." She got irritated. She said, "No, I just told you it's impossible for a whale to swallow a man." And the little girl said, "Well, I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah." The teacher came back and said, "Well, what if he died and went to hell?" The little girl said, "Well, then you can ask him." I don't know about you, but I believe it, don't you? I mean, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, how many of you woke from your sleep last night? You're not kind of slow on that now. How many of you woke from your sleep last night? Okay. You know, just like that, Jesus awoke. After 3 days and 3 nights, he awoke. And that stone was not rolled away for Jesus to get out of there. That stone was rolled away so the message could be said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and that he is risen. He is not here." And I want you to notice this little story here that begins in verses 1, 2, and 3. And I want you to notice in verse number 3, and this is the message, I want you to notice their concern: who is going to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? If you were to look at that stone and go back and do a little bit of study, you'll find that stone was several tons. Wasn't like it was a couple of pounds. It was several tons. And it would take at least a half a dozen Roman soldiers to roll that stone. But in addition to that, when Joseph Arimathea, if you ever go to Jerusalem, I've been there twice, if you ever go there, you'll notice that the mouth of the tomb is on a decline. And Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, they were able to roll that down on a decline. But here are 3 women that it would take 6 or 7 Roman soldiers to roll the stone away. And their question is, they got up that morning in verse number 3, and they said among themselves, "Who's going to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" That was their concern. I don't know all the Bible that's involved here, but I'm sure, just like you got up this morning, you begin to get ready for church, I'm sure when you have problems and I have problems, the very first thing we think about when we get up in the morning, and they thought about, who's going to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? These 3 women, I'm sure they met somewhere in the early morning as it was darkened on the cobble streets of Jerusalem. I'm sure they had a place they met. And it says there in verse number 3, that they said among themselves, in the surest world, as they got together, I'm sure they said, "Who's going to roll away the stone I mean, what can three women do that it would take seven Roman soldiers to roll up that little hill, to roll that stone away from the mouth of the tomb, because they knew that stone was there, and they had a concern in their life, and they were thinking about that. And I'm sure the very last thing before they got there, they were questing among themselves, and that was their concern. And many of us have concerns in our life, and I've found out in 69 years of living that those concerns of our life, if we'll keep on going, when we get to that place we thought was a problem, many times we find out God's already taken care of that problem. Keep your place there. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And in verse number 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord..." Now, your Bible says in Mark chapter number 16, it says that they were entering in. There was a young man clothed in a long white garment. In the Bible, angels are always men. I'm sorry, ladies, they're always men. I know a man told me one time, "My wife's an angel. She's always up in there harping about something." I said, no. In the Bible, all the angels are men. And here is this young man, an angel. The angel of the Lord, in verse number 2, descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of the sepulcher. And in the Bible, when Jesus sat down, when others were sitting beside a well, they were saying, "The job's been done. Ain't no big deal." And that which they had worried and concerned themselves about, turn back to Mark 16 if you would, and that which they worried and concerned themselves about, and how many could say that at my age or thereabouts, isn't amazing in our life all the needless worry that we worried about? And if we just keep on going, we'll find out that God takes care of a lot of our problems, and we'll just keep on going. But they're like us. And in Mark, they were questioning who will roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher. But when they got there, they found out that stone had already been rolled away. And could I tell you a few little simple points this morning? Number one, about salvation, the stone has already been rolled away. Could I tell you, people ask, "What can I do to get saved?" You can't do anything because the stone's already been rolled away. Jesus, when he was on the cross, the last words he said were, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He did not say, "I am finished." He said, "It." Salvation was finished at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and we don't do anything to get saved except come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save our hell-deserving soul. Because the stone has been rolled away, you simply come by faith to Jesus Christ. And the stone was rolled away. I don't know about you, but I got saved when I was 11 years old. It wasn't like I got saved later in my life. But for all of us could agree that it sure was a good day when I found out that Jesus did it all for me. And all I do is receive that free gift of God. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I don't know who it is that's saved or lost here this morning, but I know somebody who does know. God knows. I know there may be a Baptist here this morning. You've been a Baptist all your life, but being a Baptist doesn't give you salvation. I'm a Baptist by conviction. I'm a Big B Baptist, but the Baptist church doesn't give you salvation. My mother, by Dr. Carl Hatch, you ever heard of Dr. Carl Hatch? Dr. Carl Hatch called my mother her generation's greatest soul winner. She was a lady of passion. She was a lady, my dad and I'd go out to wherever, and she was all on top of anybody, just witnessing to everybody and anybody she could. And my mother had a passion because she was 15 years old or thereabouts at a good Baptist church. And as I mentioned this morning, from the foothills of the Ozark Mountains. I mean, they were back there like this area here, just country people. I mean, they're country all the way. I never forget my grandmother. When I was just a young boy, came to house, you know, they didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have all that kind of stuff. And she was so excited to tell me. I said, "Ron, you know what?" I said, "What, Granny?" She said, "We got a two-seater now." I said, "A two-seater? You know, some of you know what we're talking about." But got our two-seater. She was so excited about it. I'm talking about they were out in the country also, but went to an old missionary Baptist church. And at 15 years old, she heard the gospel, wanted to get saved, walked down the aisle, got at the altar, and knelt down. And back in those days, you know, it doesn't matter how close you get. You got to get the real deal. You know, Judas, he was pretty close, was he not? Jesus was his pastor. I mean, he's about as close. I used to teach young preacher boys all the time, which I've been blessed to have many preacher boys under my ministry. And I said, Judas shows us you can be called the ministry, not converted. You can be called the ministry. You can be a preacher, Sunday school teacher. But the most important thing is, do you have a day you've been born again? Has there ever been a day in your life you were concerned? That's what I want you to center on. They had a concern. But they found out their concern had already been taken care of. But nobody's ever been saved till, first of all, they had a concern. And my mother had a concern. But yet she knelt at an altar. And back in those days, it was done. It was wrong. Today, I'm sure in a good church like this, if you're a lady you come for, I'm sure there'll be a lady here to take the Bible and share with you God's Romans plan, God's simple plan of salvation, how to be born again. Because, you know, we may all have different circumstances we get saved from, but we all get saved the same way. We all get saved the same way. I remember Curtis Hudson used to tell the story that he became a great soul winner. Before that, he worked in the post office. And a lady came in one day to the post office, and he began to witness to her. And he said, well, she said, well, sir, it's kind of like this. He said, you know, there are different people here this morning. They came from different directions, and some came down, I'll just call the name. Some came down the Broad Street. Some came down the Brown Street. Some came down the Highway 51, whatever. And she said, all of us came from different paths, but we all got to the post office. And she smiled and said, it's kind of like that in salvation. We all come different paths, but we all finally make it to the post office. And Curtis Hudson smiled and said, well, ma'am, there's only one thing wrong with that is that when you die, you ain't going to the post office. And concerning Jesus Christ, there's only one way. But my mother was there at the altar. They gathered around her and said, pray through, honey. Pray through, honey. She wanted to get saved. She had a concern to get saved. And it begins with a concern, that's conviction. But beyond concern, you've got to get saved just like everybody else has to get saved. For with the heart, man believeth in the righteousness. And they said, pray through, honey, pray through to my mother, pray through. And after three or four minutes, they looked at her and said, have you prayed through? She said, well, I guess so. They said, well, then you're saved. And she came forward lost, and she went back to her pew lost. You know? Are you here this morning? You know, we all get saved the same way. But with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says, how can I, lest some man should guide me? Now, indeed, this Bible's enough to guide you. But most of us need someone just to simply take God's simple plan. And having a concern is the way you get to the place of salvation. I was in Pekin, Illinois just last weekend. A lady came in to clean up the room. Before she left, I said, ma'am, do you go to church somewhere? And she called some church. I said, have you been saved? And she said, well, I was baptized. And I said, well, the difference between being baptized and being born again. I said, born again means you're born from above, means you've been born a second time, just like you've been. I said, have you ever been concerned about that? She said, well, I have twice. I knew I had a fish nibbling at the bait. She said, I have a concern about that, and I was able to lead her to the Lord because she had a concern. Now, first of all, you got to have a concern that you're going to die and go to hell. But then beyond die and go to hell, you got to have this Bible to come to you and clearly present it to you. I don't care. Many times we have these children's church workers and this and that and other, and sometimes they, you know, but we all get saved the same way. And hopefully while I'm talking right now, you go back to a time that you trusted Jesus. Hopefully your mind can be right now. If your mind is blank, you need to check that out. I mean, if you can't, I was 11 years old. People say, oh, you know, the day and the hour. I don't know the day it was. I didn't look at the calendar. I'm sorry. I was 11 years old. Didn't even look at the calendar. I don't know. I think it was in September. I have no idea what date in September. But I tell you this, I know in my mind where I was. I know what was upon my mind. I was concerned about dying and going to the devil's hell. I'd heard the gospel and I was led just in a simple heart-like prayer to trust Jesus. And I'm glad, here it is, point number one. I'm glad when I get to the point of salvation, I find out that it's already been done. I find, notice in verse number 3, it talks about that stone was very great. And I'm glad that when I get to Jesus Christ, the greatness of salvation has already been done. It's not in what I do, it's in what he has done. And you know, that's why you need to get out and help the pastor and help the church out, as I know as a pastor, because you don't know among this community, you don't know whose door you'll knock on. I've tried all the ministry, I've tried for big days and all that kind of stuff, and it's just a matter of inviting people. Aren't you glad there was a day that somebody invited you? I'll say that again. Aren't you glad there was a day that somebody invited you? I mean, we were just helpless. We were hopeless. You know, I was looking during the coronavirus, and I mentioned it's a real deal. But I was looking in the store of a leper. You know, the store of leprosy has a comparison to the coronavirus. Those lepers, their life was... They were told to quarantine. They were isolated. They had to have a face covering. And whenever they went among the community, they had to cry out, coronavirus, coronavirus. And they had to let everybody know. They had to let everybody know. And they were helpless, and they were hopeless, and they were homeless. But those 10 lepers, remember those 10 lepers? Remember those 10 lepers? They heard that Jesus, and they cried out for mercy. And Jesus said this. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, in the Old Testament, a leper would not go to a priest. The priest would have to go to the leper. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And your Bible says, as they went, they were healed. That meant as they took their first step. You know all you got to do to get saved? As they went. If you'll take one step toward Jesus in salvation, he'll save all. And among those 10, there was one that went back, and Jesus said, where are the rest? What, didn't they come back to tell me how good it did? And there was one that came back, and he thanked the Lord, and the Bible says that he was made whole. Those 9 or 10 of them got healed physically. But only one of them got healed completely spiritually. Had both physical and spiritual healing. And your Bible says, as they went. And salvation is not in words. Salvation is a matter of a heart that turns to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so first of all, and I got to finish too much on that one. Number one, I want you to notice in salvation, the stone has already been rolled away. Let me just say this quickly about the stone of our service. If you get in God's will, you'll find out that that he has service for us. Ephesians chapter 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained. That means if you start working for the Lord, he'll start working for you. I've been in the ministry now for 48 years. I got a wonderful testimony for us. That if you just keep going down the road, you'll find out those problems that we thought we had, Brother Smart, in the ministry, we'll find out that many times God takes care of them before we ever get there. I don't know how many times I've told people in the work of God, just hang on. Just hang on. I think about those wise men that came to Jesus. You know, as important as the resurrection is, so important is the birth of our Lord, is it not? You know, I don't know the day that he was born, but I know there was a day the Son of God came to the earth. And I've looked at that many a time. I'm okay with December the 25th. That's okay with me. But the Bible says, as they were watching their flocks by night. You know, there was only one time a year that shepherds would watch their flocks 24 hours a day. As they were watching their flocks by night. And that one time of the year generally fell between February and March, thereabout, and it's called lambing season. And December 25th is all right with me, but more than likely it was February or March. And those wise men, they followed the star, did they not? They followed the scriptures that said in Bethlehem of Judea. You know, also interesting enough, in the Old Testament, in the early days of the New Testament, all the little lambs that would be raised to become sacrifice at the temple, they were all raised in Bethlehem. Isn't that interesting that Jesus, the Lamb of God, he was pointed to Bethlehem because it was in Bethlehem. You ever seen the scenes of the Passover? And here comes a shepherd. He's walking into Jerusalem, and all these lambs and sheep are around. You ever seen that scene? It said there's as many as 250,000 lambs per year gave their life. But I'm glad to announce to you, you don't need 250,000 times for Jesus to die. When he died once, he did it forever. And so I don't care whether, I just know he was born. I also know that in our service, I got to hasten and then come back tonight, and I'll tell you a little bit about this. I'm cutting it short right here. The stone's been rolled away in salvation. The stone's been rolled away and didn't have time for it in service. But I'm here to announce to you, I love the book of Revelation. I have 5 books of the Bible that are commentaries. One is Revelation. I don't understand it all, but I love it. I do what I call Revelation revivals from time to time. But I'm going to tell you, the dear child of God, step by step and inch by inch, that stone is being rolled away for the second coming of Christ. I've never seen them this like before. Never in my life. I feel sorry for our young people having to hear all the junk of the world today. It's absolutely insane. Come tonight and I'll show you over in Thessalonians, it's talking about how they believe a lie. But there's steps to believing a lie. And that's in Thessalonians. And if you listen to the world, it's amazing. Not only can they spew it out of their mouth, but they actually believe it. They actually believe that a little baby is not a baby. They can't explain when life begins. They just know they believe the lie. They just believe the lie. But there certainly are a lot of things that are underway. The word signs means evidence. And I'll just camp out there and be done. One of the greatest evidence that the Lord's going to come back is exactly what I mentioned. When that which is untrue is published and believed. When it's published and it's believed. We'll show you in Thessalonians tonight. Would you all agree with me that there's a whole lot of lies being taught and preached about and spoken about on cable news today? Sad thing is, those people who say it, they believe it. They believe that same-sex marriage is on the same level as biblical traditional marriage. They believe it. And you know what? If you're in an environment of lies and believing lies, that sets you up for a prime candidate that when the Lord comes back, the world's going to tell their lie where it is that we went to what happened to all of us. Because if you can believe that evolution is true, and if you can believe that same-sex marriage is true, and the worst of all, that transgender is true today, and if you can believe that a little baby is not a little baby, and so you believe it, you'll have no problem believing when they stand up and tell you where all these millions of people have gone. You'll believe it. You're already believing lies. You believe in it. It's called a spirit of Antichrist. You already believe in it. And so maybe tonight we'll mention a word or two about that. But the Lord rolled away the stone of salvation. If you don't know him this morning, what a wonderful time to come to him. What a wonderful time to get it settled that you've been born again. I'll say it again and I'll swing around that. When I was talking about salvation, does your mind go somewhere? Or is it as blank as I used to tell our people? Is it blank as that wall over there? For your sake, you better know where you were and what happened to you. And you better know that it was the right deal, the right thing. You better know that it was not like my mother. Just pray through, pray through, pray through, honey. I'm trying to be your friend. I don't care if you're a member of this church. I don't care if you're a pastor of this church. I'm a pastor, I realize that, but I don't care if you're the pastor's church. Everybody's got to be born again. I had a preacher friend. You know Rick Dawson by any chance? You know Rick? Brother Rick came to our church. And years ago, I said, Rick, you need to tell your story. You heard his story about telling. He said, I never told it before. I said, Rick, you're a lost pastor. You need to tell it. And he passed away a few years ago. I think he's like 62, 63 years old. And he began to tell the story, how that he, as an independent Baptist, King James Baptist pastor, was lost. Y'all familiar with Triple S Christian Ranch? John Bishop, friend of mine. And Rick Dawson went to Triple S, fell under conviction as a Baptist pastor. And if you've ever heard his story, he grew up in a Pentecostal Assembly of God, Church of God type of environment. And his mother was watching Jerry Falwell and said, you need to go to that college. He said, I don't want to be a preacher. She said, I want you to go to that college. And ended up at Jerry Falwell's college, ended up being a independent Baptist pastor. He's in heaven now. And never was born again. You know why? His daddy told him a certain age, it's time for you to get saved. Let me tell you something. You don't get saved when your daddy says it's time to get saved. You get saved when the Holy Ghost tells you it's time to get saved. That's when you get saved. His daddy says, it's time for you to get saved. So he went through what he called his performance, been baptized. He had his profession, but he didn't have anything that's real. So he is an independent, fundamental King James Bible-believing Baptist pastor, got saved on his way back from Triple S Christian Ranch. I don't know why I'm saying that this morning, kind of dwelling around something I didn't intend to spend that much time on. But I'm going to tell you, I'd be your best friend if the Holy Ghost could bring you to a point of being concerned. Concerned about where I'd spend eternity. Concerned about what my great need is. And then last of all, not just being concerned, but you had someone or you knew exactly the right way to do it. Not just pray through. Not just get saved because someone said it's time for you to get saved. But you had the Holy Ghost of God to pierce your heart. Let's bow for prayer. Here this morning, I wonder, how many could say, preacher, my mind does go to a place and a time. And I may be like you. I don't know the calendar date, but I can go in my mind. I can go in my heart. I know where I was. I know the instruction that I received. And I know the time and the place. And I know because I was there, the good day that I trusted Jesus. If that's your testimony, you lift your hand all across this building, all across this building. I'm not looking for your hand. Yes, thank you. I'm not looking for your hand. You can lower them. More importantly, God knows this morning. God knows this morning. And I wonder how many say, maybe some are visiting with us this morning. Maybe some are involved in this church. How many say, preacher, I'm not saying I'm going to get saved today, but I'm going to say, to be honest with you, I'm concerned. I really am. And that's a good place to start. I'm not saying I'm going to get saved today. I'm not saying I'm going to walk an aisle. I'm just saying, preacher, I want you to know I'm concerned about where I'd spend eternity. And I want to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. But if that'd be your prayer request, would you lift your hand? Would you lift your hand? Preacher, I'm just concerned. I can't force concern. Only the Holy Ghost of God can. And then here this morning, we ought to serve him. He's coming back. He's coming back soon. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'll take the message and you'll use it. A good crowd like this, maybe there are some that maybe they need to become concerned. And maybe they evaluate in their own mind. Maybe I just did it because the kids were doing it. Or maybe I just did it because whatever. But I pray you'll bring great concern in their life this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we stand, while we sing, you come right ahead, Pastor.
Amen. The invitation's been given. The piano's going to play. Friend, if you're here this morning without Christ, you need to come. He's paid the price. He died. He shed his blood. He rose again the third day. He's As Dr. Westmoreland said, he took that blood and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and he did that for us so that we could have forgiveness, cleansing, our sins could be washed away. Do you know that you're saved today? Are you prepared? God gives us right now, He gives us time right now to be prepared for eternity. Are you prepared? Not because you're a good person, not because you haven't mistreated anybody, but because you've taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you prepared? Then if you are, then let me ask you this. Are you serving? What are you doing for Him? Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, those of us who are looking for His return, Bible says we're going to purify ourselves. Are you serving? Are you ready for His return? Platform's open. These front pews are open. If you need to come, come. Dear friend, if you're here today without Christ, I'd beg you to come today. Don't leave this place still lost, still unsure, still having doubts about eternity. Jesus paid it all, the song says. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I hope you'll be back tonight. I pray that you'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. Choir, 4:30 tonight, getting ready for Resurrection Sunday. I pray that you'll be here and be in your place as we prepare and get ready for that. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Again, those that are visiting, Maddie, thank you so much for coming today. Miss Teresa, it's so good to see you today. Thank you for being here. And let's pray. We'll be dismissed, and I look forward to seeing you back tonight. Brother Billy Meyer, would you dismiss us, please, sir?